Blog Talk Radio.
Called out of stone. One summer day that went horribly wrong. Got my dog on the phone, crying and saying to leave him alone. But I'm not leaving his side. I know that somebody died, somebody's child. Some people duck down and some people hide. Some people just cannot react in time. Bullets do not choose a victim. It is the shooter that picks them. They just can't wait to get you in the system. The district attorney could use a conviction. Told you no guns and then you didn't listen. Life is so heavy with that on your soul. Dedicate this to Cheyenne and Josh and pour something out for the lives that they stole. 416.
Good evening and welcome to EIE SOC Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix, founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children, based here in Southeast Queens, New York. Tonight, we're talking about after the verdict. As you know, George Zimmerman has been found not guilty. I know there's a lot of feelings going on, a lot of anger, a lot of sadness, a lot of disappointment. And tonight, my question to my listeners is, what do black people do now? What changes do black people need to make to empower themselves in America? Will this be the birth of accountability and unity in black America? These are my questions for this evening. This is what we're talking about. Our call-in number is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. You can join in our conversation and express your view on here. We do disagree at times, and we agree to disagree. Still, we are respectful of one another, and we do not attack one another. So, therefore, if you call in and you disagree with someone, don't attack. Just express your disagreement, your view, in other words. Our chat room is open. Feel free to go in the chat room, leave your comments. Your comments will be read over the air, so long as they are appropriate. Also, it would be nice if you tell me your name, because some of y'all that are in the chat room, which I can see at the moment, I see guest and there's a four-digit number next to it. So, you know, do me a favor and just say good evening and type your name in so I'll know who's in the chat room, if you don't mind. Also, we're taping this, so, and I like a clear taping. So if you call in, please be aware of background noise, such as cats, dogs, children, TV, radio, etc. We try to have a clear taping. Also, if you're not logged into Blog Talk Radio, it's simple to log in. You can log in by Facebook, or you can log in with Twitter. And that will get you in the chat room most definitely. So if you want to get in the chat room and you're not logged in, just use Facebook or Twitter. Again, tonight we're talking about after the verdict. George Zimmerman has been found not guilty for the shooting of little brother Trayvon Martin. I know a lot of us are disappointed and angry and sad, confused, maybe even feeling quite hopeless. Well, tonight you can call in and express that view. First things first, though, let me introduce you to my co-host tonight. I asked this sister to come on. She's been a regular for the last couple of weeks. I am so grateful for her and that sister on your neck. Good evening, sister. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good evening, Tony.
Good evening. Well,
yeah. Here
we
are.
Our verdict. Yes.
Yeah. You know, and when it came down, you know, I was very disheartened, but at the same time, not surprised. You know, not really surprised, because nothing that happens, you know, in this type of scenario really surprises me anymore. Just disheartened, saddened, because I was hopeful, like everybody else, you know, because it made sense. That we would have something. And when they came back last night and stated, you know, well, we want to hear more about this manslaughter, you know, you thought that maybe they were looking to go for the manslaughter charge as opposed to the second-degree murder, which gave us some hope for a minute. And then when they came back and then after nearly 2 days of deliberation and to come back with not guilty, you know, that is enough to knock the wind out of your sail. And
it was rough. Right. I have to agree with you. To be brutally honest, I was not shocked at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like yourself, I did have hope. Like yourself,
yeah.
Yes, I did have hope, but I wasn't shocked by the verdict. I really felt like the prosecution did not present a case to try to convict George Zimmerman.
Right.
Yes, they talked about the manslaughter charge, you know, like I felt like they dangled the carrot in front of us, you know, and we ran after it, you know what I mean? But like I said, I'm not surprised at all. You know, I can look at it a lot of different views, you know, okay, payback for OJ, you know, that's
right.
In my head, you know what I mean? But the bottom line is, I said this the other day, actually I asked a question the other day, if George Zimmerman is found not guilty, will the Martin family be paid and that be the end of it? And, you know, some of the responses that I got was, you know, well, you know, money will not bring back Trayvon, which, of course not. It will not.
It won't.
You know, but this is the pattern that I see in society, especially a case that was sensationalized like that, you know, like this one here. The families are generally paid off, and that's the end of it until the next time it happens. You know, and that's why, tonight I've chosen after the verdict. You know, our phone lines are filling up. I'm going to go right to our first caller. His name is Justin. Let's welcome him and get his view on after the verdict. Good evening, Justin. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can.
Welcome to tonight's discussion. Where are you calling from, sir?
Currently, I'm in New Orleans.
All right, New Orleans in the house. So, let me ask you. I saw something you wrote. I'm not going to say what it is. I'm going to let you speak on it. But it's after the verdict, and what's your view?
My view is, first and foremost, before I get started, I want to tell you that I really appreciate everything that y'all do across the internet and the radio, because it's very imperative that we address these issues. And secondly, I have to also, you know, send a prayer to the Martin family and all the family and friends of Trayvon Martin that had to experience this. And now to the meat of the subject, you know, a lot of brothers have brought to me the significance of this case being a wake-up call. And I had spoke to these brothers earlier today and said, well, most of us had missed a wake-up call, because if there was a wake-up call already being paid attention to, there would not be a Zimmerman trial. You know, there would not be these barriers and these things separating us from being successful, from being free, from being able to express ourselves, wear what we want to wear, and function as we wish to function within realms of respect towards other individuals. In my opinion, what needs to take place from this point? I mean, from Darian Albert to Hadiya Pendleton, from all of these murders and deaths in the streets that have torn us apart, the steps that need to be taken is that we need to come together across the borders of race. Excuse me, this is New Orleans. And I'm trying to keep the background noise in the background. But our main focus needs to be to come together and discuss issues that are affecting our community and the things that we are glorifying and the things that create these stereotypes against individuals in our community, to where when we step outside of our community, now, I've worn a suit and tie walking up and down the streets of New Orleans, and I've never been robbed. I've never been jumped. None of that. You know, I'm going to be 30 this year, you know, and there's stereotypes on every kind of individual based on race or the way they dress and this and that and the other. Have you ever seen a brother in a suit and tie walking down the street rapping? I mean, it's rare, but it's me, you know. And if there's going to be somebody following me down the street and trying to patrol me on his neighborhood watch, a brother had pointed out to me last week, he said, you know, a neighborhood watch is supposed to do just that, watch. And what we have to stop doing in our community is watching and commenting. And what we need to do is come together and start making improvements in our community. We have torn down houses. We have these houses that are used for criminal activities and things. and we're finding bodies and in these abandoned places, and the violence, the self-hatred is getting so incredibly thick, you could almost cut it with a machete. You know, and even swinging full force with that machete, you might get halfway through the branch.
Mm.
And the things that we are facing in these days, it calls for brothers to stand up and decide, okay, what are we? What do we desire to be? You know, what is our pursuit in life? We have to come together on a foundation of love first, you know, and seek a knowledge of yourself to where you can understand, okay, this is what we are looking at. This is what is against us. It's not exactly an individual or a small group. Everybody talks about a 1% and this and that and the other. 99.9999% of all the problems reside inside of our minds that we must address. Because Frederick Douglass sued for his freedom after he had escaped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that is my favorite author. Nelson Mandela spent 27 years in prison. Him and Walter Sisulu, the quiet giant, rest in God, have him in peace. Now, these brothers endured all of this. And it, as opposed to just, you know, hollering about it or making it an excuse or a reason or justification for more racism, more hatred, it needs to be turned into something positive, productive, to where we can stop this madness. We can stop this madness. There's a lot of white people that don't want to acknowledge the way that William Lynch changed America with his letters to slave owners back 300 years ago. And in his exact words was, if used properly, these things, oh, Lord Jesus, I guess maybe I can't use the exact word. I can paraphrase. But the brother said, or the man said, that if we use these tools to separate everybody and have the old against the young, the black against the light skin, the male against the female, if we continue to use these tools and make sure that we are the only ones they love and respect, then we will always have them underfoot. They will never, never overcome us. And this it was never, never, ever the intention of any the black community or anybody to overcome the opposite race. Just to be equal has been a struggle. Just to be a part of this and enjoying the same rights. You know, I've been without an identity for the last 12 years. And my mama, you know, abandoned me for drugs when I was a baby. I went through a bunch of adoption-type things, and there's a bunch of things standing in between me and my identity. I go places, and I can't even buy so much as a pack of cigarettes sometimes. And I'm going to be 30 this year. And sometimes cannot even go and buy a pack of cigarettes, cannot write a check, cannot put my name on my adopted daughter's birth certificate. I cannot do any functions that normal Americans, any and every day, can do. And a lot of people look at their opportunities and don't see them. It's like a lot of these issues we look at. You see the tree, but you miss the whole forest because one tree was so ugly. You put all your force and focus on this one tree. And when it was over, it just kind of dies out, and it goes back in the same cycle. And it's going to continue again and again. This will not stop. This will not stop until we make it stop. And the only way to make it stop is to come together. You know, I've spoken to different preachers and pastors and imams and rabbis. I've spoken to every different religious group that I could think of on issues addressing the poor community. We need to, you know, bring churches together, little volunteer groups. Maybe this church got 10 people. Maybe this other, maybe the mosque has 30 individuals. Well, that's 40 individuals just from them two buildings. And if 40 individuals can't walk down one street and transform the appearance and the attitude on that street, then the devil is a liar. It is not even possible. It takes just a grain of vision. And it's like I said, the faith the size of a mustard seed can move a mountain. I don't know what a whole bucket of seeds is going to do. But the time is here. You know, the time is here for a decision. Are we going to continue to get kicked around, shot down, just based on the fact that somebody didn't like either what we were listening to, what we were wearing, how we were walking, the fact that we were so happy and you felt so miserable that you just had to follow me down the street in your car? you know, I lost my little brother in 2001, and they called it self-defense. There was no trial, no nothing. And because my little brother used to steal cars. He stole a car. He bumped into the man's car the previous night. My little brother, for some reason, thought he could do wrong and turn around and justify his wrongs by fixing them. My little brother comes back the next day to this man's car that he had messed up with a dent puller and was trying to pull a dent out of the man's car. The man came outside and saw him by his car with the dent puller and shot him. And they said because he had that dent puller, it was classified as a weapon, self-defense. My little brother was 15. This was a 25-year-old bodybuilder. The imbalance in America right now is getting so crucial. If we don't look to each other and start looking, instead of looking for problems, looking for solutions.
That's right.
You know, you walk in, I mean, there's, I remember growing up in Benton Harbor, Michigan, and it was so beautiful. It was beautiful. And I watched through the 80s as my neighborhood deteriorated. You know, it's like the lower brother's pants was sagging, the lower our hopes was getting, the more angry that brothers was getting at each other, the more angry the rest of the world was getting towards us. And going to school outside of my hometown because my father felt it best that I went to school outside of Benton Harbor, which ultimately, in my opinion, was partly a mistake and partly made me stronger because I got called so many names. I got jumped so many times. I got harassed. I got pulled over. I got terrorized because I was from Benton Harbor. You know, and now, you know, a lot of brothers is proud to call it the Riot City because of, rest in peace, because of Terrence Shearn, who was killed by law enforcement.
Wow.
He engaged in a high-speed pursuit, and the police bumped him off of the road while he was on his motorcycle. And in this area, in our neighborhood, it is forbidden for the police to engage in high-speed pursuits just for that exact reason, that things like that could take place. And the fact that it's residential area and all these other reasons we've had discussed a long time ago why there won't be any high-speed pursuits. That's why they have a radio to call ahead, you know.
Of course.
This brother lost his life, and we burned down half of the town. Half of the town burnt to the ground. That is not the answer.
No, it's not.
That depreciated us.
Yes, Brother Justin, I don't want you to leave us. I got calls on the line, and I want to get to folks. We got about 90 minutes left, and I want to make sure that everybody gets in. But again, thank you so much for calling in. I'm going to put you mute on mic. Don't go nowhere. I'm going to bring you back in shortly. But as I said, I want to get to the other callers on the line. Okay?
Indeed, brother. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. My next caller coming out of New York is Brother Swain.
Yes, sir. How you doing? How's everybody doing?
Good evening. Say hello to my co-host,
Brother Swain.
Hello, everybody. How you doing? Blessings to the Trayvon Martin family. This is a travesty, and first and foremost, this should really highlight the fact that we need to become more of a unified people. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I can remember, you know, when the Jewish kid out here in New York was killed, you know, the Jewish community was out the next day searching for this kid. They all, you know, unified amongst each other, was going door to door trying to find this kid. And it's just crazy how, you know, and people don't even realize, there will be another case coming up in Florida, the same state where Trayvon Martin was killed. And another teenager by the name of Jordan Davis was killed by a white guy. This guy's actually a gun dealer, whatever the case may be, and he killed Jordan Davis because he shot at the car because they was playing their music too loud. That's coming next. And when you look at it, all these things that's being happening to a lot of these young black men, and it's not just young black women too, because in the same state, Florida, there was a black woman. She was sentenced 20 years for shooting her firearm just shooting in the sky because, you know, she was in an abusive relationship and her husband or somebody was abusing her, and she didn't even shoot the guy. She just shot her firearm into the sky, and she went to trial, and they sentenced her to 20 years. So all these injustices that's happening to black people, what are we going to do about it? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm an 80s baby. I'm 33 years old. I just turned 33 July 9th. God bless that. And I think to myself, like, okay, what are we doing to really unify each other? What are we doing to help each other? We haven't really been unified since the civil rights movement began. You know, since the, you know, the, Emmett Till situation in 1955, 57 or whatever the case may be, when he was killed. And those white gentlemen was found innocent by all white jury, of course. And we have to get to the point where, wait a minute, how can we combat this? You know what I'm saying? How can we be peaceful, but we need to really unify amongst each other, not just when bad stuff happens, but with everything that happens across America, the poverty, the messed up education system that we have. I mean, there's so many problems within the black community, but we're not really standing up to speak about it, to really raise awareness to it. And we really need to really unify, because all these injustices that happen, it's going to continue to happen. Like in New York, we have the stop and frisk policy that's happening. You know what I'm saying? A lot of young brothers is getting stopped and frisked every day, but yet only no more than 2 to 3% of the cases they're actually finding firearms. But yet, you know, you in the same situation, you had a Caucasian guy that shot and killed a homosexual black guy in the village of Manhattan, point blank range. Now you think to yourself, did this guy get stopped and frisked before he got on the train or before he came to the city? No. But at the end of the day, we need to really find some kind of unity. Something has to give. You know what I'm saying? Because this is going to continue to happen. It's going to continue to get worse until we take a stand amongst each other. Because we can sit here and say, you know, it kills me when a lot of people be like, oh, what is Obama doing for me? What is Obama doing for our people? No, what are we doing for each other?
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Because we haven't done anything since the civil rights movement amongst each other. We've had countless leaders try to uplift our people. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X. I could go down to W.E.B. Du Bois. We could go down the line. But what are we doing to help each other? When are we going to start taking responsibility for our own conduct as a people? And that's pretty much all I have to say. I'm going to let somebody else speak, man, because I could go on and on.
Well, Swain, thank you for calling in, man. Thank you, brother. You know, we kick it back and forth a lot on social network, and I know we have a lot of the same views, you know, and it's time for like minds to come together. You know, they say,
yes,
what is that saying? Iron sharpens iron. And, you know, here we are. It is time.
Yes,
it is past due. It is past due. You know, what are we going to do from here? Okay, the verdict is in,
yes,
not guilty. What are we going to do from here? All right.
Yes, sir.
My personal view is that it is time. First of all, I truly feel that we are like spiritually bankrupt. So, you know, we got to come with our lifting our spirit up first. Okay, it's time to fill up our spiritual bank account. Okay, it's time to become better educated, which will result in economic empowerment. But first things first, we got to become accountable and become unified as one to make any of this happen. Sister Aminette, I know you have a few things to say, and then I'm going to take the next caller.
Yeah, I'm just hearing a little bit of an echo in the background. I don't know who has the sound.
I don't know
who that is. Okay.
Maybe it's me.
That's better.
Is it? Okay.
That's better.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I was I'm sitting here actually looking at my Jet magazine from January the 14th, 2013. Is Your Child Next, Jordan Russell Davis. I'm from New York, as you know.
Right.
I lived in Atlanta up until the beginning of 2012, and now I'm in the state of Florida. Okay? I'm in South Florida.
Ooh.
I'm in the thick of it. All right? I know where Trayvon was from. He was from Miami Gardens. Went up to Central Florida. Now, the whole dynamic with the state of Florida is a very interesting thing. It is one of the most interesting states I've ever lived in. I lived in three states. I'm a native New Yorker, left New York when I was 32 years old. So that New York is what I am. That's who I am. That's what I'm always going to be. Okay? So that's me. Bronx girl, co-op city, all day. All right? Lived in Brooklyn for a minute, but that was it. Atlanta, very progressive in its mentality, as you know. Atlanta is going to be progressive. I come down here. There's a different mentality here of black people. And in South Florida, it's such a hodgepodge and a goulash of different cultures that it's kind of crazy. That's why you had Rachel Jontel, Trayvon's friend. She's speaking three languages, English, Creole, and Spanish, because that's what's going on down here, okay? So
right.
That's the mixture culturally. Very hard to find brothers and sisters who were born in the United States down here that have any type of consciousness going on, all right? That's very, very rare. You don't see it. The island population, they believe it or not, they're a little bit more upwardly mobile than those born here that are of African descent, all right? It's a very, very strange dynamic. It's like, you know, when coming from New York and Atlanta, our brothers and sisters that were born here are like 25, 30 years behind in their
wow.
evolution of consciousness. It's very hard. You see them walking around, the young girls looking like Nicki Minaj, glued on eyelashes, working at McDonald's and working at Dunkin' Donuts. Weave, tacky weave at that. I mean, at least make your weave look believable. You know, so the mentality is very, very different. Then you go to Central Florida and Northern Florida, and they call that up south, where Trayvon was killed, Sanford. So he's coming from South Florida on a trip, visiting a totally different vibration up in Central Florida, because they call that up south. Because down in South Florida, you don't have a southern vibe. But when the further up north you go in Florida, the more southern it becomes, more like Alabama in the Panhandle area and more like Georgia. So you have a different mentality up there of a lot of hillbillies and hicks and rednecks. The whole vibe changes from South Florida. It's like two states in one. You got two different states in one state. So the mentality is totally different up there. And this stand your ground law, I have a son. My son is 13 years old. Trayvon could have been my son. All right? So now I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, wow, you know, I'm down here now. Was this the right move? And, yeah, you know, all things given, it was the right move for right now. But the mentality down here is just so backward. Beautiful state, gorgeous state. I'm in a very beautiful place. But the mindset is insane, and the stand your ground law really needs to be pulled apart. That's what we've got to talk about. We've got to talk about legislature. We've got to talk about amendments. We've got to talk about the Civil Rights Act, because I sat down last night and I said, okay, this is the deal. This is what it is. I said, I've got to go back and look at 1968. I've got to look at the Civil Rights Act of 68. I've got to go back to the Civil Rights Act of 1866, and I've got to go back to the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And I've got to look at the loopholes, and that's what needs to be done. In terms of the trial, after the verdict, where are we? The NAACP is now trying to file for a civil suit. That's going around the Internet now. They want us to all sign a petition. I don't know how effective the NAACP is in 2013 anymore.
Well,
I mean, that was Mega Evers Day.
That goes back to what I just said, okay? This now it's about, you know, getting the money. It's about getting the money and compensating the family, which nothing's wrong with that. Nothing's wrong with that.
Right.
But to me, at the same time, okay, we paid the family, you know, black folks is going to go away and calm down or whatever.
Right.
Until the next
right.
time it happens. Until next time.
Exactly.
This is the pattern that I see. This
it's
is the
ongoing.
Constant pattern. You know, NAACP and anybody else that's sending out emails to sign a petition so that the family can be paid. The bottom line
right.
is this man is free. He is not going to jail. Okay.
And Trayvon's not coming back. And Trayvon's
exactly.
not coming back.
Exactly. And this is the pattern that is constant. Constant.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it goes back to, okay, so outside of that, what are we going to do to empower
yeah.
ourselves? Because
right.
one of the reasons that I see that this is consistently happening, because we
mm-hmm.
are not empowered in this country.
We're not. We're not.
We're not empowered
we
in
don't
this
have,
country.
We don't have the economic footing. We don't have the socio-political footing
That's
as
right.
well.
That
as
is right.
Like, let's say a group like the Jews have, like the Jews.
Exactly.
You know, they get what they want. They get what
exactly.
they want.
Exactly.
At the drop
exactly.
of a hat. And we don't have that kind of pull. And we never will.
Well,
we never will.
I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hopeful.
The only way that that's
going
to happen, okay, and it may happen this way, but then again, another superpower may come into play. When we get to the year 2040, when it states that white people will then be the minority, but that really doesn't mean anything either. They're the minority of the planet, okay, first of all, and they still got control. So they can still be the minority in the United States, and even when the Hispanics become the majority, what's going to happen? What model are they going to take over? Are they going to become more like us in their dealings with us, or are they going to take the same position as their oppressor?
Wow.
So-called
wow.
oppressor.
Let's go. Let's go to our next caller, and that's another caller out of New York, and that's Brother Mike X.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Mike, peace and blessings. Can you hear me?
Peace, brother. Peace and blessings to the family as well. Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you. Welcome to tonight's
All right.
discussion. Say hello
yeah.
to my co-host tonight. That's Sister Aminette that you heard speaking just a moment ago.
Most definitely. Peace, sister. Peace.
Peace, Mike.
All right. Let me, we've been talking about this, you know, and we got to get crystal clear. And I almost feel like I'm getting ready to play a broken record, you know.
Yeah.
Because I talk about this all the time. You know, let me start off with this. You know, this is one of my favorite sayings from my spiritual father, you know, our spiritual father, most likely a lot of us, Malcolm X. He said, our biggest mistake in the past has been to try to organize a sleeping people around specific goals. He said, first you have to wake them up, and then you'll get the action. That he was being interviewed. He was asked, wake them up to what? Their oppression? He said, no, to their human dignity, to their own self-worth. Okay? So, you know, our people are asleep collectively, particularly on a grassroots level. You know, they're not phased or affected one bit by the political apparatus, by the economic structure, by our lack of social cohesion, you know, by, you know, the schools that miseducate us. Our people are just like in a zombie mode. And we have to find a way to get at that grassroots element and wake them up. You know, we can't and we can't try to steer them into reparations. We can't try to steer them and rally them around stop and frisk. We can't do any of these things and be effective until we wake them up to where they become part of the leadership, but to where they see it in their own interest, you know, individual to individual, to be responsible for and accountable to each other. You know what I mean? And I think that, you know, let's not talk about what we can't do, and let's start talking about what we need to do. We need to be having little think tanks and brainstorming sessions on the community level, in the community centers, in the gymnasiums, in the high schools, in the parks if need be, in our own apartments if need be, where we begin bringing other people into the loop and challenging them. You know what I mean? You know, of course, with love and with respect, but helping to pass on each one, teach one, you know, with the purpose to create new leadership. The biggest problem with the civil rights movement of yesteryear and the civil rights so-called leadership of today is that too many times that leadership is advanced in age and there's no apparatus that's geared towards identifying new leaders and supporting them and helping them to come into a knowledge of how to organize, you know, of knowing, you know, our history, knowing our culture, being able to decipher what needs to be done. And like a caller said earlier, there's so many things that need to be done at the same time. You know, we need to be politically empowered so that we can begin to put the pressure on our local politicians. Our local politicians have a greater say-so and impact over our everyday lives than Obama has. So we need to be even more so, being able to be empowered and pressuring the local politicians. And if we can't put the pressure on them, then we need to be able to knock them out the box. We need to be talking about political blocks. We need to be talking about economic blocks. And all of this is empowered by our unity. And we got to start from scratch. Sometimes you got to start from scratch. It's like this. If we're playing football, this is just a quick analogy. If we're playing football and on the opening drive, we march it all the way up to the 50-yard line, and on the very next play, we take the loss of 25 yards, we can't, you know, then we got to pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, look around us and say, yeah, we was up at the 50-yard line just one play ago, but we're not anymore. So let's not act like we're still at the 50-yard line, and let's take stock of where we're actually at and get busy to try to regain that lost ground. You know what I mean? We had great victories in the past. We've had great leaders in the past, but those great leaders are not here anymore. Their legacies are here. Their stories is here, but most of us are not even trying to pick those stories up, those legacies up. You know what I mean? The same way I educated myself. I'm not the product of a mentoring program. I'm not the product of, you know, the churches didn't mold me and shape me. The community center didn't do it. None of these entities did it. The hip-hop movement of the late 80s and early 90s, when hip-hop was proud to be black, when Chuck D and Rakim and Public Enemy, and they introduced me to my spiritual father, Malcolm X, and it set my world on fire and made me want to be a leader. And I've striven to be an activist ever since. I'm not waiting for anybody to tell me what needs to be done. Number one, I'm responsible for myself as an individual, and I maintain myself as a strong and proud black man. And anybody who knows me knows that this is what I'm about every day, all day. And as I'm getting older, and as I've seen the mistakes that we've made of not looking to identify new leadership, the biggest thing on my mind right now is finding a way to create the space and the environment to draw new leaders, particularly younger people, into the loop so that they'll know what's going on, so that they can begin to act appropriately. And if I got to start with five people, I'll start with five. If I got to, you know, if I got to start with four or three or two, that's what I'll start with. But let us start where we are, and stop taking it for granted that somebody else is going to give us the justice that we have to give ourselves. One of the other brothers, I think he was from New Orleans, and great minds think alike. I never met this brother a day in my life, but I like the way he used the Willie Lynch story, and he pointed out critical parts of it where we were trained. We, first of all, we were brought here to be perpetual slaves. We were never brought here to be competitors, to be equal. We were never brought here for that, and we got to take notice of that today. If we walk around here thinking that America, you know, home of the, you know, land of the free, home of the brave, and it's for everybody, you already lost. You know what I mean? You already lost. Yo, brother, I wasn't walking around with no illusion that there was going to be justice in this Trayvon Martin case. People was asking me, yo, brother, you following the case or whatever? You know, to be honest with you, and this is no disrespect to his family, this is no disrespect to him, you know, I've been wide awake for 20-plus years. You know what I mean? I wasn't walking around, and when the verdict came back, I wasn't shocked. I would have been shocked if they would have found this dude guilty. If they would have convicted him, that would have shocked me. You know what I mean? But the fact that that he was acquitted, that didn't shock me at all. Who is shocked is the people who have allowed themselves to be sleep up to this point. Those are the ones who are shocked. The ones who've been burying themselves, their heads in the sand. The ones who've been watching the reality shows. The ones who have been ignoring their responsibilities to roll their sleeves up and to get busy in their neighborhoods. Those are the ones who who were shot. But those of us who have been activists, you know, for the longest time, a lot of us, we weren't shocked at all. So what's the solutions? Brother, the solutions are, is we need to have some real grassroots dialogues, you know, some venues where we invite people out and we begin to talk to them about who are we in 2013 as a people? Who are we? And who do we need to be? And how do we make it so? You know what I mean? This is some of the real questions and answers that we need to be seeking. What is our relationship throughout the African diaspora? You know, we're so divided and conquered. What is our relationship with Africans from the motherland, with Jamaicans, with Haitians, with West Indians, and, you know, African Brazilians, and so on and so forth? We're so divided. What is our relationship throughout the family? What does it need to be, and how do we make it so? Then we need to go on into what's going on with the missing presence of black men in the neighborhoods. You know, what's going on with the overproliferation of single mother-led families in the neighborhoods? What's going on with the continued feud between black men and black women, each one pointing at each other as if the other one is the problem, when we need to get it together because that's the foundation of the family? You know what I mean? What's going on with our relationship, or the lack of a relationship, a positive one, with our youth? You know what I mean? Or how do we make the relationship better? How do we approach our youth with love and respect so we don't alienate them? You know what I mean? But we find a way to bring them home with love. And we start out with the family. And once we answer those questions and we get the solutions to those things, who we are, the relationship between us and the other branches of the family, the need for a renewed and strengthened relationship between black men and black women, and we find a way to begin to approach our young people with love and respect so that they will turn back to us and embrace us. You know, and I mean, stop talking about their pants hanging down. Stop coming at them and oh, you know, you talk the slang and you this and you that. Yo, our young people are boycotting us because they see no power in us. They don't respect us because they don't see us fighting for their survival. So they're turning to each other. You know what I mean? So instead of us dissing them, we need to rally ourselves together so that we can offer them more than criticism and ask them to come back home with love and respect. And after we've done that, then we can start talking about what we need to be doing politically. Then we can start talking about what we need to be doing economically and down the line, and what we need to be doing about our messed up relationship with the police. Let me tell you this, and I'm going to stop. The Jews, you know, because we defeat ourselves. We call ourselves niggas. We call ourselves, you know, the B word, and we call ourselves minority. And words have power, you know what I mean? And words have customs and rituals and habits, you know what I mean? I work with young people. I've been working with young people for 20 years. And the N-word, the nigga word is thrown around, you know, like it's nothing. And the habits and behaviors that are attached and associated with that word are self-defeating and self-destructive. And the minority, when we call ourselves minority, the root word of minorities is minor. And so we go about our business on an everyday basis as a people, those of us who look at ourselves as minorities, look and being minor, you know what I mean, by default, elected somebody else to be major. Isn't it interesting that the Jewish community doesn't have nowhere near the numbers that we have? But have you ever heard them call themselves minorities? Have you ever seen them act in a minor way? No, they lock down their communities wherever they're at. They act major, even though their numbers are nowhere near ours. They act major in their communities. They control the politics. They control the businesses. They got their own schools. They got their own security team. They got their own emergency medical services. They have it all. You see what I'm saying? So I just want to say, and I hope that, you know, please, bro, please don't mistake the passion for disrespect for anybody that's on this line. Because, it's, you know, the passion is coming from you know, having this bottled up so much, not being, you know, us not having the forums like this one on a regular basis like we should, not having the forums in our neighborhoods like we should. I'm working on a forum such as the one that I'm advocating, and I'm calling it the Village Restoration Project. We talk about the village all the time, but we never talk about what the village looks like, what the blueprint of the village is, what are the dimensions of the village. You know what I mean? What does the village look like? You know, we always talk about unity, but we never talk about the blueprint to unity. And as long as we never get to the blueprints and we begin to discuss what those blueprints are, then we can never get to the point where we can get to some real building. You know what I mean? So I say I'm going to take a pause and, you know, and I'm going to say thank you, Brother Tony and everyone else. With love and respect, you know, I just want to be a part of the family, and that's the spirit that I offer these words from.
All right. That's Brother Mike X, y'all, coming out of Bronx, New York. You're listening to the EIE. SOC Blog Talk Radio. We're talking about After the Verdict. Call-in number is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. I'll bring you in on tonight's discussion. You can express your views, whether you agree or disagree. Just learn. Please, no, never learn. Never mind learn. Just please do not attack or be disrespectful to another caller for their view. We're going to take a short 2-minute break, and we're going to go back to the lines in just a moment.
Hijabs, hoodies, afros, locks, teddy bear liquor bottle shrines, rocks, tanks, prayer rugs, church pews, Mexican corn stands, blood, sweat, and tears, police batons, gas masks, and bullets create graffiti on corners, murals that salute freedom or death for liberty, be it Inglewood or Egypt, Bed-Stuy or Baghdad, Syria or Liberia, the West Bank or the West Side of Chicago, where food and liquor stores still occupy the block, while police and community watchmen justify why they shot Emmett Till, Malice Green, Rekia Boyd, and Trayvon Martin, better not wear that hoodie while shopping for a carton of whatever they're selling in your food desert, because your soul is dessert and will be dissected and consumed on the Fox Evening News, while we sing the blues the new Jim Crow caged bird sings. Because he's tired of occupying his misery and of our marching. He want to fly to a higher consciousness, but his school on academic probation. They gave him medicine, diagnosed him with a felony and mental retardation. So he refuses to cease the firing. Nobody's hiring. In Illinois, 67 is a new age when you retiring. Class lines have blurred. Those who used to have not. Pensions being snatched. Those who never had keep their hands stretched. Social services being cut. Sterilization clinics giving out pills to numb the womb. Young girls referring to their vaginas as tombs, thinking protests are temporary and trendy. We'll rock a t-shirt and carry a poster, and 2 weeks later it's back to normal. But they say times are changing. The revolution is becoming second nature. Causes are combining. People carrying torches, hope burning from their hands, attaching explosive devices because they keep stealing their lands in the name of freedom. Hijabs, hoodies, afros, locks, teddy bear liquor bottle shrines, rocks, tanks, prayer rugs, church pews, Mexican corn stands, blood, sweat, and tears, police batons, gas masks, and bullets create graffiti on corners.
You're listening to EIE SOC Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix, along with my co-host, Sister Amunet. We're talking about After the Verdict. Of course, you know George Zimmerman has been found not guilty and, as I speak, is a free man. And my questions are tonight, what do black people do now? What changes do black people need to make to empower themselves in America? Will this be the birth of accountability and unity in black America? Wow. I mean, there's been some things said here tonight, which I know you agree with me, Sister Amunet, that I'm in 100% agreement. I have not heard anything so far that I disagree with, you know.
Yeah.
But as I said, the time is now. The time is now.
Yeah.
I think Mike X said it best. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's time to set the blueprint for what we need to do. Let's go right to our call lines, because the call lines is quite a few callers on here, and I want to get everybody in, and that is Sister Daphne. Hello, Sister Daphne, can you hear me?
Oh, I'm on my house phone.
It's okay. Are you here?
Oh,
you can hear me?
Yes, I can hear perfect.
Oh, great. Welcome to tonight's show.
Thank you kindly, sir. I'm not going to take up too much time, but I want to reflect on the last gentleman. He spoke about our children. After this has happened last night, we have to reflect on our children and what they are feeling and what they think. They see us so many times going to the clubs, spending the money for the groceries, letting the lights get cut off and all the little things that we get distracted by. And now they are also witnessing each other dying. And they really don't have a sense of knowing that we're standing up for them, that we're trying to protect them. So on that note of what he said, I think that we really need to hold on to what's happened to Trayvon, and I send my prayers out to his family and all the other families, Ms. Franklin also, and I think we need to take this moment here and bond back with our children. Let our children know that this is what's happening to this mother and the other mothers, and if they're not careful and let us try to help them and help ourselves, we're going to be in the same shoes that she's in and her son is in. Now it's time for us to let our children know that we do love them. They see so much difference. They don't know if we love them, care about them, want them protected, or nothing. So I think on that point that he brought up, it's very important that we reach out and let our kids, we do love them. And we can't be harassing them about sagging and the way they communicate. We have to get their attention in other ways, instill in them that one day we won't be here on earth. And it's sad to say that we're burying our kids faster than they're burying us, but we have to get that through to them and to ourselves. And
exactly.
I just wanted to comment on that part there, sir, and I'm hoping everybody else calls in and get their views in there also, because when I heard his point, it changed my whole little speech I had that I wanted to bring up. But I definitely think that is very important what he brought up. That's why I wanted to get that in there on this call tonight.
Well, thank you
mm-hmm.
so much for calling in, Daphne. You know you're always welcome. And
thank you so much, and I'm going to be in and listening.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Just want to give some quick shout-outs to some folks in the chat room. They're giving Brother Mike X, you know, kudos on points he made. You got a Brother Dennis in the chat room, Sister Diane. And there are others, but I don't know who they are. But, you know, again, welcome to all on tonight's discussion. You know, feel free to pick up the phone and call in. I'm trying to look at some of the comments, and I'm going to read some off as the show goes on. But right now I want to get back to the phone line. And welcome. I believe this is Brother Hest. Let me check. Good evening. Is this Brother Hest that I'm speaking to? 404-309-7966. Who am I speaking to? Caller, are you there? 404-309-7996. Okay, perhaps that caller doesn't want to speak.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to go back to... Oh, wait a minute. Let me take this.
We're trying to come through? Mm-hmm.
Right, hold tight. Okay, caller 404, are you there? Hello? 404-309?
I think that you're trying to reach somebody, but this isn't a... She's trying to reach another brother.
Hello?
Okay. Toya!
Yes, hi, this is Toya.
Toya,
okay,
speak up!
Oh, okay, you know who it
I'm
is. Okay, her name is Toya. Toya, can you hear me?
I can hear
Hello?
You, yes.
Welcome
to
tonight's show, Toya. Okay. I'm sorry. Welcome to tonight's show. You're on the air. We're on EIESOC Blog Talk Radio. As you know, we're talking about After the Verdict. Again, welcome. Tell us your view. Where do you believe we go from here?
You know, I'm just listening in. This is Toya. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia. A friend of mine is on the call, Sister Amunette. So I'm just listening to everybody's views, and so far everybody's making great points, and that's pretty much it right now.
Okay, fine. Great.
Yeah.
Again, welcome. Don't go anywhere.
Okay.
I'm going to leave you in the
Thank
queue
you.
Just in case you choose to say something later on in the show.
Okay.
Right now,
okay.
I'm going
we'll
back
do.
To the... call lines, and I'm going to Brother Joey out of California.
Okay.
I am here, brother.
Good evening, brother. How are you? And welcome to tonight's show.
Oh, man, I'm all right. Just a little, you know, just a little hot. It was a little hot today.
Okay, okay. Same here in New York. It's cooking out there.
Oh, okay, okay. Basically, I just wanted to make a comment about the whole situation. I have been up basically all night. I slept a little bit, but I've been up all morning talking to people about, you know, the whole Zimmerman situation and everything. And it doesn't really surprise me. I was hoping that my thought process over the last couple of weeks was wrong. You know, I've taken criminal justice in school, and I've seen now, you know, the justice system was not designed for us. We weren't even human beings when they came up with the justice system. So now we're trying to assert ourselves into their system, thinking we're going to get some kind of fair treatment, and it's not going to happen. The only time that we get any justice is if it's a highly sensitive situation, like a James Byrd or something like that, you know, a situation where you just, you know, it was just so sickening that even white people couldn't say no, you know. But this situation, you know, you got a black boy basically on trial for his own death. And then I saw a thing on Facebook a few minutes ago, I guess from Zimmerman's brother or cousin or something, said that Trayvon was responsible for his own death. I'm like, these people are really sick. They're mentally sick, and we're not going to do any good trying to keep on following behind them. That's all we as a people have been doing for the last 100 and some years that we've been quote unquote emancipated. So what I decided to do this morning is put together a little plan, I guess, and people can obviously, change it or add to it as they wish. But I just brainstormed and came up with a plan of attack, so to speak, an economic plan of attack to try to get us engaged in our own survival. Because if we keep on giving them our money, they won't listen to us. The only way that you do anything, get anything from these people, is to economically disengage yourself, like the Asians do, like Jews do, like everybody else does. Black people are the only people that in this country who gladly give people their money. They'll slap us, and we'll still sit there and give them our money. So what I decided to do is just try to come up with a Monday through Friday plan of what we can possibly do to, like I said, economically disengage ourselves. And I posted it on my Facebook page and every group that I'm in. I think I posted it in your group also, to try to get people to wake up, because we're all we got. We can't wait on Sally and Jim to help us out. There's no benevolent white man coming to help us. There's no guy from the sky coming to help us. We can see that now, if you didn't see it before. So, I mean, the time now is for us to wake up and start doing for self. So that's what I'm trying to do, and I hope that, you know, people will take, you know, what I've put out there and run with it. Like I said, you can add to it, you can take away, whatever you want to do, as long as, you know, somebody had to do something.
Exactly. Exactly, Brother
Right.
Joey. Strong points. Strong points, you know, and it's time for solutions to put into action. Solutions, actions. You know, Brother said a blueprint, okay? Now action behind us. It's time to execute it. You know, I've been hearing about, you know, don't talk about it, be about it. Right, I agree. The problem is coming together. You know, Brother said it. He don't care if it's just 5 people. It's a start. Because, I mean, we need to wake up as a people. It is time to gather the masses and make it happen. And those who haven't caught on hopefully will catch on. Because this is the only way that we are going to come to the level we need to be at in society as a whole, around the world, not just here in America. Because we are falling so short. We are falling so short, and we got to get away from the blaming, pointing the finger, waiting on something that ain't going to show up. You know, we're believing in God, but we're not trusting God. Something's wrong with that. We're hitting church every Sunday, dropping off tithes, waiting to be blessed. Meanwhile, your community is in shambles and your children are dying. That mindset really, really needs to change. I'm going to go back to my first caller, and that's Brother Justin out of New Orleans. Brother Justin,
how you, how's it going, brother?
I'm all right. Thanks for holding and being patient.
Brother, I got to tell you, it's not holding, man. It's not holding. It feels like you holding me on the line when I listen to these positive, productive, especially when that brother Mike X has spoke his mind, because that is when he had brought up about criticizing these young individuals with their pants sagging and things like this, because I also myself had made a reference. And I believe that as leaders, anybody that's a leader, for every 10, 11, 12 things that you say in support of a brother, that's where you put in a little bit of spice, you know, to the recipe. You know, once in a while, put this, you know, a little piece at a time, you know, because it's like brothers used to say, if you stuff a brother full of knowledge, he going to throw most of it up, you know, and he doesn't get any nourishment from this. And it is possible to chase a brother away with knowledge quicker than it is a can of mace or a gun or anything else of that nature, just simply based on the fact that after so much guidance, it becomes criticism. It becomes a sermon, a lecture. It becomes more like a trial. You know, like the more a brother is looking at his actions and how they don't meet up to your words, it's more like that brother's on trial than actually getting help from you. And the thing is, you know, a brother, once you start growing and once you start developing as a man, as an individual, there is going to come a point to where you will grow apart from certain individuals that don't wish to grow. They want to stagnate, and sometimes that is going to happen. There is going to be individuals that don't wish to do anything, that don't even care. They just want to live their life. They say the same thing whenever they get fed up is, I was born by myself, I'm going to die by myself. Well, however the case may be, when you walk in that street by yourself, you are convicted by stereotypes what is the word, brother, they use? Profiling. Before you even step out the door, barely before you even, I'm watching right now, right here in New Orleans, there is one individual across the street, old man, pulled over by two officers, by two squad cars, and each of them cars has two officers inside of it. And for this one old man, just to stop him and search him and basically, you know, just, now I've been up and down this street and I've been searched once or twice in this area. I went over to the West Bank of New Orleans to where Gretna is, and there's got to be a murder every other day over there. Them brothers got more automatic weapons than they have books in that town. And there's something to that. 4th of July weekend, you know, we had sent out memos telling brothers this year and for the rest of your life, brother, we don't want to see you shooting your guns in the sky for New Year's, for this, for that, and furthermore, celebrating Independence Day. When Independence Day came, who do you think was serving all the meals for the first Independence Day celebration? Who do you think was cooking them all? They didn't get to eat none of that. Now, that's where soul food came in, because they didn't get to eat nothing that was on the main table. Soul food come from ingenuity. It comes from making something out of nothing. You know, and in my organization, we have a phrase that say, and this is my favorite phrase, it says, we the willing, led by the knowing, to do the impossible for the ungrateful. We've done so much for so long with so little that we could do anything with nothing at all. And that is my favorite phrase. We can, and we have, and it's been proven that it doesn't, you don't have to be wealthy. You don't have to be on TV. You don't have to be born into money. You don't have to be any of this, but uphold your dignity and your integrity as a man to see the fruition of your pursuit, you know, feed your mind, and feed your brother's mind, your sister's mind. Stand up for that brother, brother Darian Albert, you know, walking down the street. Okay, here's a, we've all heard the things that come out of brother's mouths when we got 33, 34, 35 thugs standing on the corner, and then one Darian Albert with a bright, promising future walking by, getting harassed his whole way going and his whole way coming. And these type of elements, you know, this degradation and this it's like a inner self-hatred that out of a fear that self-loathing will be exposed, we might as well go ahead and clown and bring down somebody else to where they're more on our level. That's not how you level the playing field. That's how the playing field was leveled in the beginning. Because what happened in the beginning, when I say the beginning, I'm talking about of America, is when them brothers was brought on them slave ships, they were bringing royalty in the bottom of a boat, chained together, naked, crammed, packed. These brothers come from a heritage of royalty, a heritage that inherited the gold and diamonds of the world, a heritage that taught the Aztecs all their math, the Mayans all their math and their astrology. But where is this history? It's buried. It's getting recently so-called discovered by archaeologists that all the monuments down there in the area, in the Mayan area, is all statues of distinctly black figures, distinctly African figures. The truth, what happened to the DNA test on Mr. Abraham Lincoln? There was a DNA test, and they found that he had 50% black blood in him. Where is this DNA test all of a sudden? It comes up on the news and here and there and flashes, and all of a sudden the story is gone. When a brother like myself hunting it down like I'm a starved, you know, hunting for that little piece and can't find it, you know, because a whitewashed society, a whitewashed way of thinking. One of the worst things I hate to see is when a brother, man, and I don't know about you, but when I see one of my brothers in his suit and tie, like my brother K.G. Wilson in Minneapolis, you know, he has love and respect for the Trayvon Martin's family and his friends. And he loves the pursuit of justice. But at the same time, he's lamenting over the issues that there is so much gang violence in his community that he needs help. He needs support from the community to continue engaging these youngsters and showing these brothers the light and letting these brothers see this guiding light. You know, this is where they want us to be, and this is how they got us to continue to go to this same end and meet the same fate, and this is how we get out of that. You know, and the brother is going through the stress and the pressure of having so many individuals relying upon him for guidance, and at the same time, he needs the words to come out of the next brother's mouth, and the next brother's mouth, and the next brother's mouth. You know, for I tell my brothers, if you're going to read my post and you push the like button, brother, please push the share button. If you can't share, because every time we share another brother's insight, we magnify that voice. It's like a
microphone. Excuse me, if I could just interject just for a minute.
Sure.
Yes, ma'am.
The problem, we're talking too much. We talk too much. We've been having the same conversation for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's not working.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We're talking. We've got a strategy, and we can talk about a strategy for the next 45 minutes. I got a blueprint. Like to hear it? Here it go. It's not working. We've been having this conversation. My parents were having this conversation in 1969.
Mm-hmm.
We got to have forums. We had forums. They got shut down. Black radio is being fizzled out, okay? I did a YouTube video about this very thing, okay? I don't want to talk anymore about what we're going to do. I'm not having this conversation about what we're going to do when we've been talking about what we're going to do for 45 years. My parents sat around and had roundtable discussions about what they were going to do. okay? I heard Kiss FM go off the air, and that was a form that we had on Sunday. They moved the open line to BLS. Now it's cut down to an hour. Kiss FM went off the air playing, you know, the last song that they played when they went off the air and got shut down? Brother's Gonna Work It Out. 1973, 40 years ago. We ain't worked it out. You had a million man march in 1995. You didn't work it out yet? Don't waste my time talking about what you're going to do. Don't waste my time. And my time is too valuable to be sitting here talking about, well, this is the plan. This is what we're going to do. We're going to have a forum. We're going to talk about it. We're going to get it together because we've been trying to have forums for 40 years since King died. We don't need leaders. We got to be the leaders ourselves. We know we got to be the leaders ourselves. Tell me something I haven't heard already. You're telling me things. We're sitting here and we're talking about things and it's not getting anything done, but we're talking about things that we've already talked about before. Like you said, it's a broken record. I'm tired of talking. I don't want to hear your plan for the next 45 minutes. I can sit here and do other things and get things done.
That's right.
So don't waste my time talking about your plan unless you have a strategy to execute the plan. I don't want to hear about the blueprint. Let's see it manifest.
That's my favorite word.
We had that talk back in the 60s and 70s. I'm not having it. I'm not having it in 2013. 17-year-old Trayvon is dead. Jordan is dead. I don't want to talk about a blueprint. What's your plan of action?
That's right. I like that. And the plan of action needs to be, am I still on there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if I had my mic muted. And the plan of action needs to be to step out. A lot of times we notice we'll talk to people in another country before we even step outside and talk to our own neighbor. That needs to pass. The fact that we walk to the store past about 60, 70 houses that's almost falling apart, falling to pieces, whatever skills and resources we have, we need to pool those. We need to put them together. This is how... Everybody,
tell me how.
In action. That's it. Action.
How?
Go into a church.
You have to tell me how. We need 1, 2, 3, 4, A, B, C, D. You have to tell me how. Don't tell me action.
Exactly.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to take a short break, and I want everybody that's on the line to think about what the sister just said. Tell us how, because I got a plan. And part of my plan is in this next song you're going to hear in this break. Excuse the language. It's rough, but still it's real.
Oh, fall in the grass, because the bride is suicide. On the other side of the track, where I find a way to shut up.
SOC Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix, founding president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children, based here in Southeast Queens, New York. We're talking about after the verdict. George Zimmerman is a free man. They found him not guilty of killing little brother Trayvon Martin. What are we going to do now? Is it time for us to wake up and step up and stand up? Because we're speaking up, but it's time to put a plan in action. And for me, it's time for us to come together, do what we need to do, and shut them down. Economically, we have the resources and assets. We're not sharing them. Okay, we don't have to go outside of ourselves to make some things happen. We need to start sharing. Can we share for the betterment of Black America? It is time. Every man for himself, every woman for himself, survival of the fittest. It is time for that to stop. It's time for us to reach back and stop looking back. If you're not going to change, then don't complain. It's just like if you say, I'm not going to vote, and then you want to complain about who was elected. Shut up. You didn't vote. So if you can't get in here and be a part of this, don't complain, America. Black America, that's who I'm talking to. I'm talking to Black America. Time to get off the pity pot and stop playing the victim role that is played. Okay? Sacrifices was made for us to advance, and we didn't nurture that progress. We sat back and got complacent, and we thought we arrived. And now look at where we're at. We're crying, we're broken, we're feeling hopeless. We got this learned helplessness keeping us captive in our minds, internalized depression. Come on, y'all. You got folks like myself and people that are on the lines and my co-hosts and people that are in the chat room that is saying, listen up. There's some things that we can do. It's time to get with the program. Or else, shut up and stop complaining. Because complaining is not changing nothing, and the Calvary is not coming. The solution is in the mirror. You want change? Be the change. We are no longer victims. We are victims of ourselves because we refuse to snap out of the illusion of it's not our fault. We refuse to account for the part that we play in what is going on. But you know what? I am so tired of that. I am so tired of that. That's why I'm an activist here in Southeast Queens against gun violence. Because I know we got to go to the source. We got to go to the youth on the street. Oh, sure, we could sit behind some tables and, you know, discuss it and say, okay, we got to go over here and teach this and meet over there. No. It's time to hit the block. Because guess what? After the verdict last night, I was on my way home from the jazz festival in the park from where I heard the news of the verdict, and I stopped on the way home, and I pulled to the side, and I asked some of them youngsters on the corner, so what's up with the verdict? And wow, the responses I got was like, you see, they don't care about us. This is the mindset the young got out there, and it's up to us to wake them up. It is up to us to wake them up. I'm going to say it again. It is up to us to wake them up. Nobody else going to do it. These are our children. Where the black men at? Okay? You got sons and daughters out there that are your children, and you ain't being a father. What's up with that? Our kids are dying because we're not being responsible nor accountable. There is no excuse for that. And we want to cry and shout, and we want this and we want that, and we marching and we having rallies. That's all I got all day. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it because there is a solution and we ain't getting with it. We waiting for somebody else to do it. Well, I'm telling you, ain't nobody going to do it but us. Let me get back to the phone line because I'm getting upset here. Let me let my co-host handle this for a minute. Sister, are you there?
We're here. I've got four things that I just want to throw out, really. Really almost five things that really come to mind. And I'm just going to throw it out there, and I want to see what people are going to do with it, all right? And I threw this out there in my YouTube clip that I did, and I threw it out there for a couple people today, and a few people threw it back at me, all right? And I've got a variety, a sprinkling of different people from walks of life all on my Facebook page. I have Moors, I have Rosters, I have 5% Nation of Gods and Earth, I have the Kemetic family, I have the sociopolitical family, I have the RBG family, which is the Red, Black, and Green family, I have your New Black Panther Party people. I have a wide variety of people, and I have some people that have no affiliation with anything. Okay, I have the metaphysical crew on there, all right, that feels that our liberation will come through metaphysical sciences. I got people that are into working their black magic, and I'm not talking about anything evil, but that they can transcend, you know, any type of oppression through metaphysical means or through working rituals. A lot of people think that Trayvon's killing was a ritual in of itself, all right, when you go after blood, and that there's more to this thing than even meets the eye. With Trayvon's whole death and what it really symbolizes, and his murder and his slaughter. Now, if we go back into time, and, you know, Emmett Till was brought up before, the difference in today and yesterday is that Emmett Till's murder was the catalyst that sparked the civil rights movement, and hence we had Rosa Parks who said she was tired, and then it trickled down from there. People don't have that kind of hunger and thirst today. You wasn't with a different mindset, different generation, and people that are complacent, okay? And you're also working in a time where we're no longer, by law, segregated. And I want to throw this out there because somebody brought it up, and then I'm going to drop it. I'm just going to drop it out there in the universe, and then people can do what they want to do with it. Did desegregation really work for us? Was segregation a better deal? Were we more unified when we were segregated? Did black businesses thrive better when we were segregated and all we had to do was rely on one another? That's just a thought. Because maybe perhaps integration isn't working after all this time. It works for some, But does it work for the collective whole? Do you want to be integrated? Some questions I have. Do you want to be integrated? Did it really benefit us by being so? Okay. Has anything dramatically improved for us since desegregation? Another group of people on my page. Back to Africa. I'm getting out of here. Where are we going to go after last night's verdict was read? We need to get back to Africa. Okay. We had the state of Liberia that was established for us. We got, the Rastas got Shoshimani. They got a piece of land in Ethiopia where people can go if you want to pack up and go. A lot of people are getting land and property in Ghana, in Accra, and they decide to leave and go there. And then you got your Hebrew Israelite clan, who is also on my Facebook page, and they got Dimona in Israel, okay, where they've left and gone on. So where shall we go? A lot of people were asking that question last night. Maybe we need to go. Maybe we need to leave here. Maybe we need to get out of America. Maybe this really isn't working. Maybe this integration thing with these people, maybe these people will never get along with these people. It's just not working.
You can run, but you can't hide. You can run.
Right, and I said that as well. Now, then you got your black nationalist crew who don't want to leave. They don't want to leave. They don't want to go anywhere. But they want to build a nation within a nation, a black nation within a nation. Give us our little section of America. You go your way, white man. We'll go our way. We'll build our own stuff. We'll live in the same country, but you got your side of the country and we got ours. Black nationalism, nation building within a nation. Is that the
answer?
That's
not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
Right. Right. Realistically, it's not. Some people think it is. Maybe Louis Farrakhan would tell you something else. I don't know. Okay? Next question. Would we be going off so hard with this case and the sensationalism of this case if George Zimmerman was just another black man that happened to kill another black man?
Well, that's pretty obvious.
Because it's happening every day in Chicago.
Okay, well, that's pretty obvious what the answer to that is, okay?
Right.
All right, and that's being brought up consistently, but apparently nobody wants to pay attention to that, okay?
No, they don't.
You know, the battles we choose, as long as
mm-hmm.
it's not taking a look at us.
Right.
I'm in it. Here I am. I'm volunteering for that. Oh, you talking
right.
about us? Oh, no, I'm not with that. No, you're talking about us.
Right, exactly. Exactly. That's
too
real.
Or, don't you understand our plight? And hey, you know what? That record is broken, okay? I'm sorry.
Right, it
Listen,
is.
I want to go to the
it
phone
is.
Line. I got a pastor, Jeffrey, who just called in. I want to get to him and get his view on tonight's discussion.
That's my pastor.
Again,
I love him.
Okay. Again, if you're listening, this is EIESOC, Blog Talk Radio, 424-258-9271 is our call-in number for the night. Press the number one, I know you're in the queue. I'll bring you into tonight's discussion. Also, we're on the air until 10 o'clock, so if you don't call in before 10, you won't get in. Okay, we may go a little after 10. I don't know, but after 10 o'clock, you won't be able to get in. Again, welcome to all those in the chat room. I really appreciate your comments. Wow, my... co-founder of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. She has just checked in the chat room. Welcome, sis. I'm so glad you're here. I hope you're going to call in. Also, if you do call in, please be aware of background noise and what have you. We try to have a clear taping. I apologize if I showed a little emotional frustration a moment ago because at times, I do get frustrated doing what I do and what others do. I know it's hard. I know it's a struggle. I know we struggle with what's the use. Nobody's going to listen. You know, everybody's broken. They're feeling hopeless. You know, but I got this God that just won't let me quit. They drafted me into this. I didn't come up with a big idea. You know, all I did was talk about it. Write about it, and God sent these people to me, and they said, listen, man, you the one. And today, I got to tell you, I still won't feel like I'm the one, but I'm in it. And I'm not giving
That's
up
right.
because our kids are dying. I got children. You got children. Okay? I'm one of those that made it through the 70s and the 80s, and it's only by God's grace that I'm here, because most of those that I come up with ain't here no more.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a true believer of this. God has a purpose for us all. There's a calling
indeed
for us all. And this is my calling. This is my calling. I've been in the trenches. I've been in the prisons. I've worked in the prisons. I've worked
yes
with children. I've worked with young adults.
Yes.
And this, and I got to be honest with you, and I'm being very, very honest. I didn't plan none of it.
Me neither.
I didn't plan none of it. I didn't go to school for none of it. I worked in
that's
the courtroom as a court
mm-hmm
advocate. I didn't go to school for that.
Right.
My life got me these occupations.
Yes.
Let me get to the phone line, y'all, because I'm getting started here. Let me welcome Pastor Jeffrey. Good evening, Pastor Jeffrey. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes,
welcome
I can.
Welcome to tonight's show.
Okay. All right. Hey, grace and peace. How are you doing, man?
Grace
right
and peace.
All right. Well, you know, I was, in light of the verdict, it was crazy. Everyone knows it was crazy. I think that, because I personally felt violated when I saw it. I couldn't believe, you know, I don't think he got out of his car intending to kill Trayvon. But I do believe that if you get out of your car after you're told by the authorities not to get out your car and you initiate contact, I was in the United States Marine Corps, you had to have certain guidelines before you could exercise deadly force. And for him to get out and have the ability to exercise deadly force, which is carrying a firearm, and to be totally innocent of manslaughter or slaughter also, I was without words when I heard. I was in shock. And I heard some of the things you were talking about. The thing is about people leaving America and going out, all these different movements and all that. You got to realize, America became great on the backs of slaves. So it ain't like America is not our country. We paid a price to be here. People have paid a price for the advances that we have experienced. They might not seem as prominent right now, but they are. And I'm not going nowhere. This is my country.
That's right.
This is my country. I'm sorry. Benjamin Banneker designed most of Washington, D.C.
Yep.
I'm not going nowhere. We have what advances and mega wealth to the United States of America. I am African American, I'm of African descent, and I was born in America. This is my country. And I'm not going nowhere. And the fact of the matter is, I'm going to open my mouth and I'm going to make people uncomfortable, because it is only through uncomfortability that creates a stimulus for change. The problem is, too many people got their mouth shut, and they'll write all over Facebook. They'll sit up in the church and do nothing, and I'm a pastor, but I don't care whether you people like me or not. We ought to close the churches down for a minute and get in the street, because if you count to be a Christian, and if you believe that God is on your side, Jesus did most of his preaching outside of the doors of the church. See, we're seeing the young people get, listen, when you take the gospel in the street, it will change the atmosphere of the street. But when you're in the house, that's just where it stays. Enough is enough.
That's right.
Enough is enough. All that is talk, listen, if there was men in the street preaching the gospel and talking about Jesus Christ like they talk about the New York Knicks and the Miami Heat and all of that, these young men would follow them back to the church building. It's time out trying to get rich in church.
Right.
I'm tired of all of it. I'm tired of all the garbage. We are supposed to be winning the world for Christ. Now, if it comes through the wealth that we get, if it comes through different areas, fine. But enough is enough. Why is the only time you see churches open is on Sundays and one day during the week? Clubs are open every day. Bars is open every day. You are scared to confront the young people? No, I don't think you should be. You got a gun. So what? I got the word of God, and it'll stop the air that the bullet travels in.
Ooh.
Aimed at them, and I'm not afraid. Because you know what? God's will be done. If everyone believes that God has a purpose for your life, your heart cannot stop beating until that purpose is fulfilled. Your life's not in the hand of the man with the gun, not in the hand of the man with the badge and all of that. It's in God's hands. So, listen, it is time out for the nonsense. Where are the Jameses and the Johns and the Peters? The Peter who brought a knife when they came to arrest Jesus and said, I don't care what y'all going to do. Y'all ain't taking my Savior. Where are those at?
That's
where,
right.
Where are the real children of the Most High God, the Davids that went before Goliath and said, who art thou, you uncircumcised Philistine, that you would defy the armies of the living God? We don't have to change legislature. Legislature will change because of our presence if we're truly walking in the power of God.
All right.
Sorry if I got a little
All right.
emotion.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Time out for the nonsense. It's time out for the nonsense. I'm so tired of that. I was telling someone because in my ministry in Newark, New Jersey, it's Kingdom Truth Tabernacle, but our main thrust is Kingdom Truth, Kingdom Fitness, because we're getting into the health and fitness thing. We got the Kingdom Finance, which is business. Don't just tell somebody go get a good job. Teach them some skills. You know, and Kingdom Relationships. Let people know that there are places. I oftentimes go in barbershops and I speak in barbershops. Got a little barbershop ministry going on. Go in there and I'll go in and because I sell different products. I'm a wholesaler also. And I'm selling my products. And, you know, on Father's Day, I say, you know, Happy Father's Day to all the fathers in here. And women go, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'm looking at them going, you ain't never been a father because you got to tell
That's
me.
That's out of order. They're out of order.
When did you grow a penis? Because I believe
right.
that's a prerequisite.
Ooh.
Oh, it's time yeah. out for the nonsense. You're wondering yeah. why these children are mixed up? Because you, now understand this. If you are in a, and I'm not trying to get off the point, but if you get involved with a man that leaves you and becomes he's a deadbeat dad, aren't you responsible for your choice to have a baby by a man that's a deadbeat dad?
Say it again.
So it's not the man's fault. You chose the man. So maybe you ought to correct your choices and understand that your choices are going to affect future generations. Young men trying to be girls because all they see in authority is women.
That's right.
See, we ought to say it today. Adam, where are you? A preach
right.
a sermon called that. Where are you? Where are you on the streets? Since when you're in the world, you can hang out in the street, but when you're in the church, now all of a sudden you want to just go straight home? The devil in you is a liar.
Okay.
If I love a woman, everyone's going to know, not only on Sundays and Tuesdays. You're going to know about my lady. You're going to want to meet her. You're going to want to follow me where I got her from. So if you love Jesus, why ain't nobody following you to church?
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm a little radical and I'm a little hard, but I'm going to tell you right now, it got to come on. Now enough is enough. The church was
born. That's the name of the show.
That's right.
All right. All right.
In power. Jesus wasn't no wimp. He beat people out the temple. Since when? Our major concern is who got the best looking shoes or the nicest looking suit.
It's a played out concept at this point. You know, it really is. That whole thing is played. Yeah, it's played.
Enough is enough.
I got a comment, and I have to say this comment in the chat room. Sister said, we must atone, okay? I see it right here
That's
in front
it.
Of me. We must stop blaming and stand up.
That's right.
I agree.
That's right. It's nobody's fault.
admit that we are failing. Admit that we are failing.
That's it. That's it.
Absolutely right. Listen, let me tell you, the main thing Jesus and God and the church is being laughed at by the world. Because we're talking all this power stuff, and God is all, and we're not showing none of it in our lives. How can you preach discipleship when you're 100 pounds overweight?
Mm. Right.
Jesus always told, that goes all the way around. You can't, because it says,
and that goes for any form, you know, because it shows that you have a lack of discipline. You can't keep your mouth shut.
100%.
The flesh is running rampant.
Absolutely. And if you can't get up from the kitchen table, you're telling me you're going to turn down that woman that's going to open her legs? I doubt it.
Right. Right.
And see, we got to stop playing games. See, we got to get to the point where we understand. Why do you think all these pastors and preachers are being caught out there when their little demons are coming to light? Understand this. A scandal is not about what you did. A scandal is about what you hid. Nobody cares. Nobody cares what you struggle with. People only care when you lie about what you struggle with. Don't tell me that, I got over that years ago. And then all of a sudden you're caught in it.
Right.
Listen, when David was caught, you know what David said to God? Against thee, and thee only have I sinned. He came out with his hands up. And see, like I said, I'm a personal trainer. I'm a certified personal trainer. I run marathons, and I'm 51 years old. One of my missions in the kingdom is to bring fitness to the kingdom. I don't care how out of shape you are, whatever, whatever. The fact of the matter is, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Inch by inch, everything is a cinch. You can do it. And you got to know that. Listen, this is your body. It's the temple.
That's right.
It is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're telling me if you lose 50 pounds and you get in good shape, and then you say, you know how I learned how to do this? My pastor taught me this. You're telling me people ain't going to follow you to church?
And not only that, you know, that's collectively for the entire community, means the whole fitness aspect. But back to the verdict.
He gave us his view on the verdict.
That's it.
You know, but you know what? I said it from the beginning of the show. We are spiritually bankrupt, okay?
Yes, we are.
Spiritually bankrupt.
That's it.
Movement that I've been associated with through my coming up through the years has always been led by God.
Right.
Correct.
Exactly.
By God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that spiritual element, to me, is so important, no matter who it is you worship. No matter
who it is you worship.
That spiritual element is definitely needed. I want to ask the pastor one quick question, then I'm going to go back to those that have been holding on the phone line. But he talked about the pastors whose hidden demons come out. And my question is this. When those hidden demons come out, and it's all over the news and what have you.
Right, and these pastors
don't step down from the pulpit. They don't even really admit to doing anything wrong. Okay?
They don't.
And the parishioners, the members of the church, stand by them.
Mm-hmm.
What is your view on that?
Well, I'll give you an answer because I know this is not the topic of the show. But I'll respond to it really quick. First of all, God covers us, and this is why Jesus' blood was shed. He covers our sins, past, present, and future. And what we've got to understand is those pastors who that God allowed them to get into public eye and, you know, and their stuff is revealed?
Right.
It's because they've been hiding and lying for years. God has
given warning after warning.
Okay, now, when you're talking about the parishioners standing by, well, should they stand step down? Here's the thing. First of all, the principles would say that you should definitely step down if it has become a public outcry.
Okay.
Against the body of Christ. Okay? Now, second of all, if you go with the people sticking by them, yes, they should. Are they still?
Hello?
Call. David was never taken down as the king, but he killed his man and he committed adultery and he counted. David did so many things, it's ridiculous. That's not the problem. The problem is when the world can bring now a railing accusation against the church. That's what stepping down is about. and remember, like I said, scandal is about what you hid. It's not all about what you did. President Obama did something really, really powerful. And people, I don't know if people would really remember. President Obama, before he was president, said, yes, I did smoke reefer. Remember he said that? He said
yeah.
in his book.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he smoked herb. You know why he did that? Because he just like that comedian, forgot the guy's name, but he said, you know, He joked about his mom as a crackhead and all this kind of stuff, and his mom used to steal out the store and all this kind of stuff. And you know what? And he said, you know why I'm telling y'all this? He said, all I'm telling y'all is true. He said, you know why I'm telling y'all? Because when I become a big star and people say, oh, well, we found out his mother was a crackhead. He said, you ain't find out nothing because I told you already.
But I already told you.
Exactly.
It is. And then you're free. You're free as a
exactly.
result.
It's no scandal.
Yeah.
Preacher has ever been caught in sleeping around, if he was acknowledging, listen, I struggle with being faithful to my wife. I've brought pain in the past. Now I still struggle sometimes, and I got to stay prayed up, else I'll fall. That's what Paul said.
I don't mean to cut you. I see where you're going with this. But these pastors, I haven't heard that kind of humility from them. You know, I don't want to call one out, but you know.
No, there's entirely, I'm going to go there and I'm going to tell you this, there's entirely too much ego in the pulpit. There's too much ego. There's way too much ego.
That's why God allows it to be seen.
But I'm saying, you know, I don't want to. Well, I'm gonna say his name because anybody know. I can't think of his name. Eddie Long. Steady wrong, Eddie Long. Okay. Brother, we got 5 minutes of live on the air. If you're listening, You better call in now or you won't be able to get in after 10 o'clock.
Yeah, well, you know, first off, let me say, you know, y'all took us to church, and y'all took us to church for about 20. Y'all took us to church for about 25 minutes, and you know,
yeah,
we do need the church to reassert its position in our communities and at the forefront, you know, of our movement. The church has, you know, there was a time when the church was all we had, you know, and
right.
Now the church, you know, has disappeared, you know what I mean, literally, and in most communities, you know, in my neighborhood, you know, I can go on, you know, on any given block, and a lot of times there'll be 3, 4, 5 churches on the same block, but there's no church presence. There's no church spirit. You know what I mean? And, you know, so, you know, the church needs to step back into the fray. It's not enough for you to talk about, you know, what's going to happen to our souls in the hereafter, but have no energy to help us to get our lives together in the here and now. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done. The church needs to come back to us. You know, I wanted to talk about, you know, the sister mentioned black nationalism. Black nationalism is not just a philosophy that's talking about we want 5 states in the middle of the country. Black nationalism, according to, you know, my spiritual father, you know, Malcolm X, Elijah Malik El Shabazz, you know, was a plan and a process where we need to be fighting to gain control or at least significant say so over our communities, our neighborhoods, wherever we exist. A lot of times, you know, wherever we exist, most of the time we're the majority there. But the problem is we're so divided and conquered that the politics are controlled by outsiders. The businesses and the economics is controlled by outsiders. The schools is controlled by outsiders. And I advocate that we need to have a philosophy, a grassroots philosophy that's about organizing grassroots people collectively to form political, economic, and social blocks so that we can begin to wield power in our neighborhoods, so that we can begin to have say-so over the local politics, so that we can begin to have say-so over the business community. And even we put pressure on the existing businesses, and we begin to create our own businesses. And once we create our own businesses, then we put our black power, our purchasing power, as strongly as we can behind our businesses to allow them to grow and thrive. You know what I mean? So black nationalism isn't just not this pie in the sky, we're going to take 5 states or however many states, but black nationalism, that mindset that's about us coming together and wielding our collective power, not striving to integrate. We're the only group in the United States that's striving to integrate.
Nobody else wants to integrate with us. Nobody does.
Yes. /assimilate/disintegrate. You know what I mean? You have little Koreas. You have little Italys. You have the Jews and their enclaves. Everybody else is striving to carve out and to maintain politically, economically, and socially their own enclaves. And we're the only ones who's letting anybody who feels that they want to come up and set up business in our neighborhoods, come up and control the politics of our neighbors, control the schools and the curriculums or what have you. So I advocate that we need to be striving to work, to control, to take control over our neighborhoods. There was a sister that came on, and I was jumping on and off the phone, so I didn't catch all of it, and she was screaming on us. I didn't appreciate that. You know what I mean?
Me.
She was talking
that
about
was me.
She was okay. We was talking about we've been in a struggle for 45 years. I'm only 44. So you can't hold me accountable for what's been going on for 45 years. You can hold me accountable.
No, I didn't say that. That's not what
time.
I said, brother. Brother, that's
all
not
right,
what I said. I said we've been talking about the same thing for 45 years. Actually, you and I are in the same age group.
All right. Well, let me say this.
Right?
Let me say this.
Mm-hmm.
We have to continue to talk about it always. This is something that we have to maintain. This is a conversation that we have to institutionalize, because there's many people who the conversation, though it's been going on with you and certain other people, there are some people who have never been initiated into this conversation. There are nooks and crannies in our neighborhoods where they've never even heard talk like this. And because they've never heard talk like this, they can't be held accountable to talk like this. So we have to make sure that we're reaching everybody.
Out. Yeah.
We have to make sure that we're reaching everybody. And the other thing is it shouldn't just be upon me and you. It has to be, like I said earlier, we have to make sure that we don't make the same mistake that some of our civil rights icons and others have made when we hold on to the baton of leadership too long. In my neighborhood,
right.
They have a National Council of Negro Women, but in the National
yes.
Council of Negro Women, they're octogenarians. I think, I hope I'm a
they
sexagenarian.
They're
in
my grandmother's
right.
age. My grandmother was a part
70s.
Of that.
They're in
yeah.
their 70s. They're in their
80s. Yeah.
And then when you
yep.
look down, there's no 60s, there's no 50s, there's no 40s, there's no 30s, there's no 20s. And you might have a great-great-grandchild there every now and then, but that's just
right.
because they're babysitting. You know what I
exactly.
mean? That's just because they're babysitting.
Exactly.
You go to the NAACP, you know, that most people don't even know is there, and it's the same situation. There's no 50s, there's no 60s, there's no 50s, there's no 40s, there's no 30s, there's no 20s, because we make the mistake, and I don't know, either we make the mistake or it's an ego thing where we hold on to the baton of leadership so long that we don't
exactly.
set up the situation for the next generation to be primed, to be prepared, and to be supplied with what they need to step into that role of leadership so that we can keep this thing going. So
exactly.
we can't continue to make that mistake. You know,
mm-hmm.
we have to make an active effort to have the conversations, to do the rallying, you know what I mean, and to bring and to reach people and bring them in. And, yes, you do have to sit them down sometimes. I'm not an advocate of never going outside, but if you go outside without a plan, you know what I mean, then you're planning to fail. And the plan should not be about the oppressor. The plan should not be reactive. The plan should be proactive, and the proactiveness of the plan should be about building us. It's about us. It's about the family. It's about the village. It's about the love, the respect, the appreciation that we have to begin to exhibit to ourselves. We will never get anyone to treat us with love and respect or justice until we begin to show that that is the way that we treat ourselves. It will never happen. And we're continuing to get shown up by people we shouldn't be getting shown up by. We're getting shown up by the Jews. We're getting shown up by the gay community. The gay community has out-organized us. They used our blueprint.
Yeah.
I was saying this the last time I was
they
on
did.
This show.
They did.
The gay community took a script out of our book, and they used it to organize themselves into a political, economic, and social group that has compelled people to change their minds. Not because because the morality, not because it's moral, but because they have economic, political, and social power. So I say again, we have to, and you know, we have to, the best thing we could do, the solutions, is we have to be grassroots activists.
Yes.
We have to be grassroots educators. We have to be grassroots organizers. And sometimes, like I said, you know, if you have a field, it used to be a vibrant field. It used to have lush flowers and plants and gardening going on. Well, you let that field go untended for a little while, and then the weeds and everything is going to grow up. And it doesn't,
That's right.
you know, in order to get that field back to the way it used to be, you're going to have to go back to the script. You're going to have to go back and clear it out and replant it and till it and weed and all of that type of stuff. And this is the position that we're in today. You know,
exactly.
I remember the Million Man March. You know, I went there. I went to the Million Man March. I went to the Million
mm-hmm.
Woman March. I went to all
you know
the Million Youth March. You know what I mean? But see, this
yep.
is the thing. Those the problem was is that those marches were dominated by charismatic individuals. You know, it was
yes.
too dominated a lot of times by a Louis Farrakhan or a Sister
right.
Soldier or Dr. Khalid Muhammad. And this is not to denigrate them, but
right.
this, but if we put all of our stock and all of our faith into an individual,
yeah.
too many times we don't do the homework, the studying that we have to do to be the
That's
leaders
right.
that we need to be on the level that
right.
we're on. I'm a leader in my own
right.
I'm an activist in my own community. I've taken ownership. I've taken responsibility and accountability for my life as an individual and for my citizenship in the black neighborhood that I grew up in and that I still live in. And this is what we need. We need to be trying to help other brothers and sisters to be able to make the transition to become leaders, to become activists, and become responsible for and accountable to, and under that same vein.
And Mike, can I just interject with this? I just want to tell you, and we're on the same wavelength, but I think what it is, and then, you know, we're looking at the people like the Charles Rangels who don't want to give up the seat, you know, in Harlem, and people like that. They've been there for 1,000 years, and it's time for some younger faces to be in the forefront. And
that's
we
right.
have to think of new strategies and ways to mobilize the youth. You know, I used to work in the high schools back in Georgia when I was in Atlanta. I worked in the high school system. A lot of these children are disconnected totally and really don't think that anybody wants to hear what they have to say. That's another
mm-hmm.
problem. They have to know that they have a place to come to, that they can speak freely without being judged, without being condemned, and that we'll be the ones to listen because our age group is not too far from them. You know, so it's not, we're not that far removed where we can't still hear what they have to say. You understand
mm-hmm,
what I'm saying? Without
mm-hmm.
condemning them, because we were just where they were not too long ago ourselves.
That's
so
right.
It's going to start with the young people. It's got to start with
mm-hmm.
the young people. And they're being affected by this. Psychologically, this whole Trayvon killing thing and all these youth being gunned down is affecting their psyche, because they're saying
mm-hmm.
our lives really don't have any value. People could do anything to us.
That's
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
My
That's
son
awkward.
Is a teen, and he said, you know, Trayvon could have been my big brother. My son is a teenager. My son is getting ready to go to high school.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Same generation. He said, what is my life worth?
That's the view I got last night when I stopped on the way home after the
That's
verdict.
It. That's,
That's
it.
Exactly. We are not worth. See, they don't care nothing about us, what happens to us.
That's right.
That
mm-hmm.
is the mindset they got. And it is up to us to change that mindset.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And my son, thankfully, because of his parents, because of my husband, because of me, and the kind of household that he's growing up in, his mindset is positive. He's not falling victim to garbage. He's got a good circle of friends and a healthy circle of male friends that are about something, that are upwardly mobile in their own, you know, get up and go. So I'm very blessed in that respect, that he's not in the land of the lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we need to pull our other youth together who are not so fortunate.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm going, right there.
Yeah.
Right there, because they are the future. They're the future.
Yes.
They're not the lost generation, okay?
Right.
Folks have given up on them. Oh, we can't reach them. They won't listen.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know? Have you talked to them? Probably
right.
not.
That's right.
Probably
That's
not.
Right.
Because if you have, I don't think your view would be that way.
Right.
You know, I got two more people I want to get to on the phone lines, and then I'm going to get final comments, and we're going to close out. And I'm going to go to Brother A.D. out of Georgia. Brother, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear, brother.
Welcome to tonight's
How
discussion.
You doing?
I'm great. I'm great, brother. I'm blessed. How are you?
Blessed as always, forever blessed, my brother. I just want to, for a second, just share a testimony and a solution to this problem, because we tend to misunderstand, you know, that we cannot do this ourselves. And a lot of people take, a lot of people take God out of the equation. Or our higher power out of the equation. And we cannot do that because we are fighting a war of spiritual principalities. We're not fighting a war of flesh and flesh. You know, we can't beat the hell out of somebody. You know what I mean? These evil spirits that we're dealing with, we have to put them in God's hands. And a little over three years ago, I was in the Fulton County Jail. I had just got my case overturned, a 25-year sentence, and I had served about 4.5 before I got a chance to go back to trial. Now, all the while I'm waiting to go to trial, I had been at the Fulton County Jail about 5 months, and I was on the 7th floor. A lot of guys, young guys, older guys, who were facing life plus, double life, and all these different things, they were asking me about their case, you know, because I came back from prison. And when you come back from prison, you have on a red jumpsuit, whereas everybody else has a blue top and a blue bottom. and to identify with the guys who have come back for their trial. And a lot of guys, I'm talking about a lot of guys used to ask me like I was a walking lawyer or something. They used to ask me about their case, you know, and how I got my case overturned. And I would tell them simply that I put it in God's hands and I left it there. And I had a roommate. He was facing life plus 20 for something that he didn't even do, you know, something that he wasn't involved in. This guy had four kids by four different women. And he's a real important part of the community because of those kids that he has. You know, those children are the future. And I used to tell all those guys the same thing. And my roommate told me, he said, "Brother A.B., when you get out of here, man," he said, "you're going to be the first person I ever seen go home these 6 months I've been up here." And I said, "Wow." So when I came back from trial, after I got a not guilty verdict, then I came back and I told those guys. Now, the picture I'm trying to paint here and get everyone to understand, this is a real true story. And
okay. Please make it brief, Brother AD.
I'm sorry,
please,
brother.
Make it brief. Because I got one more call, and then I want to get final comments, okay? Thank you.
Okay, brother. And that's just really all I'm trying to say. We can't take God out of the equation because, you know, that whole testimony that I shared with those brothers, now they know they can identify how I won my case, not by research and all this stuff here, but basically by putting it in God's hands. And that basically was the reference that I gave them, and they'll pass on to others. So we have to keep God in the equation. I bless you, brother, for allowing me the time to speak that.
Thank you, brother AD. I got your message loud and clear, talking about spiritual warfare. Okay, let me get to the next phone line, and that's, I'm going to try him again. That's Brother Hess. Brother Hess, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Peace and blessings, good brother. How you doing in the listening audience and co-host, Sister Ambunette?
Hey, how are you, Brother Hess?
Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. Tonight has been a real revealing night. You know, we're dealing with this situation with, you know, his brother, you know, come and be able to walk up out of that courtroom. But it was a blessing to hear them people tell us that Obama is picking the Zimmerman case up, and he's picking this brother up on federal charges tonight. So to hear that tonight,
mm-hmm,
while we were on the show, you know, that was a blessing,
yeah,
to see that this higher power is doing for us what we,
yeah,
can't do for ourselves. And so, you know, one thing that we strive to do, man, is to realize that we only have so much power. We only have power over ourselves and the attitude in which we choose to embrace. You know, and one of the things that came out earlier tonight in the conference call, you know, on the pulse, is that, you know, we got options. And we have to look at what option. We got the option to riot. We got the option to protest. You know, we have the option to go out and strike a white person in the face, you know what I'm saying, because we hate, you know, that this guy Ron Zimmerman, who is white and Cuban, you know, what he did to one of our little brothers. But the question is, we also have the option to find out how, you know, past injustices got resolved legally and peacefully. You know, we have an opportunity to trust, believe, and put our faith, like in what Brother A.D. said, this higher power's hand, and expect him to enlighten us on what can be done in this matter, you know. And so I just continue to thank, you know, Brother Tony Nix, man, and yourself, sister, for, you know, giving us a platform that we can come to and listen and understand, you know, other people's perspective and an opportunity to be able to see that there are options, that there are availability to the NAACP petition that they have out since last night. You know, there's a way that we can begin to start writing a national impact statement on ALEC, you know, the American Legislative Exchange Council, and how they supported this man, George Zimmerman's trial attorney fees. You know, there are options out there, but we have to explore them, and we have to ask for some help. You know, I can't do it by myself, and if I lean on to my own understanding, then I'm probably going to talk myself into the same ditch that got me into a lot of trouble throughout my past. So I thank y'all for letting me share, and I yield the floor.
Thank you, Brother Hess, from behind the wall, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Before I get final comments, Sister Ambunette, your friend, she has been on the line. She's still holding on. I'm going to ask her just to chime in briefly. And that, I believe her name is Toya, I believe her name is.
She has something to say. She has to stop being shy. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You've been called out, sister. Good evening. Can you hear me? Hello, this is Toya. Are you there?
Hello. I'm here. This is Toya. I hear you, Lori, back there. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, just listening to everybody. I wanted to say, and I wanted to go back because Lori had mentioned about a blueprint, and I have discussed that before a lot. You know, talking about the, you know, the case and the verdict, you know, I don't have really a lot to say about that because I already kind of knew where it was going to flow. But we spoke about, you know, many different topics. We spoke about change. We spoke about a solution. And a lot of people had a lot of different things to say. Far as, you know, having a blueprint, and a lot of people do have blueprints out there, the people that we deal with have blueprints, not just for 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years. These people have blueprints that work hundreds of years. So when she, you know, when Rory was talking about just specifically, you know, talking, and we have. I mean, we can sit here tonight and we can talk about, you know, this, that, and the other, but tomorrow go about our everyday lives. It's actions, and actions do speak louder than words, and it starts with you. It starts with the individual. It starts with you looking in the mirror and then spreading that light, whether you're starting something in the community, working with an individual, whether it's one, two, or three, or five, not gathering a nation, because we have to realize that we're all not going to work on the same page. Even back in the days, you know, way back in time, we had different tribes, we had different cultures, and they were all in different groups all around the world, and they were not all on the same page, but they did have this. Even though we had different, they had, you know, they all believed in one, and whether it was a different name for a god or a goddess or so forth and so be it, it meant one. And until you have that one collective mind, and when you start walking and you walk in that light does show, that light will show, folks will start following you, and then you turn around and make those people leaders, and then it trickles. It's just like in sales. They say that, you know, I lost track of thought on that end. But the thing about it is that you have to show, in the, you have to be the light. You know, we're all here on this call, and that means that we are all individuals that think outside the box, and that we all have, you know, we're walking that same light, but we all have different comments and different solutions. But we have to have how should I say, a collective mind thought, you know.
That's right. What you're saying is a common agenda.
Right, because we all talk about different things, and that's fine, but we're all here on this call for one purpose, you know, discuss where we need to be, okay? But we need to have a common agenda, okay? And it starts with the brother, you know, I think there's some people here in Atlanta, some folks up there in New York, you got people out there in Florida, and whoever else is on the call, and where, you know, wherever you're at, it starts with you in your community. And then walk it. I'm telling you, when you follow, when you walk that light, people follow, and people will start doing it. The word of mouth begins to spread again. Whether you're talking to one individual, that one individual might talk to two individuals, and them two individuals talk to four individuals, and so forth and so on. It will have a trickle effect, okay? I mean, because these people have to put this blueprint in place because they have to do things in order to control. But you have to first understand that everything that is going on is control, okay? And that you have to unwrap yourself mentally. This is mental. Everything is mental. You have to de-educate yourself and re-educate yourself, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Everything is a mental condition. You understand what
I'm saying?
Right. And that's why I really don't have too much to say about the verdict, because I know it is a mental condition. It is a mental condition that we have. We're all talking about it. I got here last night, and I was just watching folks on Facebook emotionally. Okay, very emotional. You understand?
Yep.
You have to draw back your emotions, and you have to question things. You have to see the images that they – you have to think. You have to question. You have to think. You have to analyze, and you have to see the images that they give you. You have to hear the language that they speak. speak. There is a language. That's how I knew that the verdict was going to go the total opposite. I don't know what people were hoping for, but because of
that's
the language and because of the laws, and if you understood the laws that took place in Florida right before the whole incident happened, you would have already understood that this was going to be in his hands. Okay?
That's right.
Period. You gotta know. You have to know your laws of the land. You have to know you have to know the laws of the universe, nature, and everything else that plays around it. They do. You have to have this. You know the science behind. There's a science behind everything. There's a science in the way you walk. Science the way you talk. Everything. You know. And so you know to have you know to like I said the solution. It's action, and actions speak more loud. We learned this in school. Actions speak louder than words. It starts with an action. You have to to continue to just, you know, just do who you are. Be who you really feel that you are. Do things within your will. Don't let this control your whole aspect of life and getting into conversations. When someone has a conversation with you tomorrow, wherever you're going to be at, you know there's going to be a lot of talk about this whole Zimmerman case. Try to flip it around. And and get them to question what they saw. Turn it around. Turn the conversation around and let that individual start thinking. Let the individual start thinking that's bringing up the conversation on Zimmerman, because we can't sit here and talk about this all day and all night. Because before there was Zimmerman, I mean, before there was Trayvon, there was a young guy, a young boy out there in Pennsylvania hiding under the deck. No one knows about that. He got shot, too. There was another young cat over and over again. The only reason why we know about Trayvon is because it was told to us. But no one's talking about what happened out there in Pennsylvania or some other state or wherever else. Or, you know, I have a friend of mine who works in EMT. EMT, not just EMT, but the what is that? The 911 calls. He's a fireman. Okay. And this real news that I hear from him, I don't even hear this stuff on TV. This is real stuff happening. You don't hear none of that. What they want to project, what they want you to hear and project, is what they're going to give you. But you're not going to hear about the man that was wrapped up because of a woman that lost her mind because she was looking at stuff talking about the Illuminati and got scared to death or whatever the case may be. You understand? You're not going to hear about the boy that just got thrown out the window when they driving high speed or whatever the case may be. One particular story, I used to always ask myself, even when I was young, looking at this, and I don't really pay attention to the news. My husband watches this stuff. He plays, you know, so forth, and I just hear what's being said. And I used to ask myself, even young, what makes this one child who is missing, one child, why are we looking at this one child?
Right.
You can't
explain
that.
And it's distraction
tactic behind
it.
Why is this one child so special?
Yeah.
What's happening
here?
What's the politics behind this?
There's more to it.
Children missing, trafficking, all kinds of stuff going on. And that TV manifests. That TV manifests what they want people to do. Everything out of chaos. You know, everything is done out of chaos, and that's what it does. It manifests, and then people start doing what they feel and believe that they can do and get away with it because it is, you know, news line after news line after news line. It's nonsense. It's not, but I think that the solution starts with you. We have to understand that everyone is not going to be on the same page first and foremost.
No,
okay,
it's not.
We can't hit somebody upside the head and think that they're not up. Okay, maybe their time right now is not to be up. Okay, but there are a lot of people that you can take effect on, but it's just the approach. It's the approach on how you approach an individual in order for them to wake up. We can't just be slamming folks on the head talking about wake up, wake up, wake up. That's not the solution. We have to just work within yourself. And when you work within yourself, I promise you, everything else will follow behind.
There you go.
thank you so much, sister. And you were the sister who said, oh, I really don't have too much to say.
That's my girl, Toya. From the time I know her when I was 18 years old, we went to the beauty school together. I'm going to tell you, Tony, real quick. Pastor Jeff met him in 2003, Okay?
Okay.
Long history with him. These are my people. These are my people.
Okay, he just hung up.
All walks of life.
I'm not letting this sister get away, okay? All right,
she's fabulous.
Got all his good jewels. And
fabulous.
I don't have much to say. No, knock it off. You know, and yes, I agree. There is an approach to use. Because, you know, you know, I want to get radical and go to, you know, Toys R Us and buy a plastic bat and just roll through the neighborhood like, pow! What's the matter with you?
Wake
you
up.
Know what I mean? But I can't do that.
Right.
You know, that's my personal frustration and me being emotional. You understand? Because you're absolutely right.
There's a time to be hard
and there's a time to be soft. You know, you got to meet people where they're at. So, yeah, I totally agree. We're going to get our final comments. Pastor Jeffrey hung up. I was going to get him first, but I'm going to go with Sister Daphne. She's still on the line. Thank you again, Sister Toya. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Okay. Not a problem.
Sister Daphne, good evening.
Hello?
Can you hear us? Because you've been holding on.
Yes,
can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly. I wanted to reflect on what the sister was saying earlier when she was saying we have to, you know, stop talking so much and do something. I was just thinking myself what I'm going to do personally in my household. I'm going to downgrade my television. I'm going to downgrade some little things that I don't need. I only need a few select channels to watch the news. I need to stop giving all of my money and my friends and family. I want them to do the same also. You know, keep your basic or whatever you want. I think I'm going down to the lowest basic I can get. You know, I need to start exercising my money right and quit just putting into this corporate America. You know what I'm saying? I need to find some black businesses to give my money to. And so I'm going to, you know, be doing that myself, and I'll let my friends and family know how it turned out for me because I know they're going to want their Lifetime. They're going to want their other channels. But for me and mine, I'm going to do something. And thank you so much, sister, because I wasn't going to even mention my little plan because it's something that I'm attempting to do. I've got to do more. You know, I'm rallying, protesting, trying to get involved, but still I can do so much more. Little small things are going to add up. So I thank you for, you know, helping me bring that out to you all. And you all give it some thought and let me know some ways that, you know, I can work around this, make this into something that we can do together. We got to free the money so we can give it to black businesses. And you know, black businesses and stuff, we got to support them. They scared to even open up a business because they know we're not going to come to them. And then back again about our children and stuff, they are wary. They do see us turning up for everything, but not for them. They don't know if we want them to live and give us grandchildren or not. So we got some heavy things to do, you know. We can talk and discuss it, and like this is a very good call-in, thank you. But I would like to, you know, talk and give, you know, suggestions and stuff in the first half and maybe in the second half start doing something, putting into plan and stuff, you know. My idea was just off the top of my head, but, hey, I'm willing to do
that
something.
Well, that is a great idea because guess what? You're starting in the home, okay? And it should start in the home. So thank you for sharing that idea.
Well, thank you
again.
And you all share your ideas with me because if I got to take out walking, then I'm ready to walk. And for our brothers and sisters that's not ready, we can leave them behind and come back and get them. We got to get here and get with the ones that want our help, that's trying to get to help. And with this blackout thing and stuff, it should draw us closer. We blacking out on everything, but we at the same time, we running away from each other. While we blacking out and, you know, trying to save money, trying to get back into the home and the businesses of our own, you know, we need to be together. We can't do it from here and there and there and there, you know.
All right.
And I really enjoy this call here. Yep, that's it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And come back and join
you.
Us real soon. I'm going to Brother Mike X and get his final comments. Brother Mike X, can you hear me?
Hey, peace. Yeah, I'm here. I just want to say, said a lot. I think we all said a lot. And, you know, we all in our, we got to roll up our sleeves in our individual neighborhoods.
we have to strive to, you know, first stabilize ourselves. You know, we got to be for ourselves, and we got to be balanced. You know, we should be striving to maintain our physicals, you know, the temple, like one of the brothers said earlier. You know, we should be striving to maintain a level of health and fitness, you know, pursuing natural, holistic ways of living and curing and you know, and keeping the body strong, keeping the temple strong. We, of course, should be students, you know, from the cradle to the grave, you know.
That's
knowledge
right.
is infinite, you know, and the more that you learn, the more ideas, the more creativity, the more opportunity you have. And it's not about college. You know, I heard somebody say that earlier. You know, Malcolm was an eighth grade student, but he was a reader. He was a student. You know, I'm a GED. All I got is formally is a GED. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I've been studying strong for the last 25 years, and as long as the Most High God allows me to breathe, I'm going to have a book in my hand on something that I'm striving to, you know, get put into my mind that will allow me to be a better brother, you know, a better father, a better cousin, a better neighbor. And then, of course, you know, we you know, brother, you've been talking about spirituality all night. We do have to gain personal relationships with the Most High. You know, I'm not going to strive to impose my personal relationship,
right.
you know, with
right.
the Most High on somebody else, and I'm not going to let them impose theirs on me. You know,
that's
I tend
right.
to, you know, I'm inclusive. I feel like, you know, knowledge is infinite, and it has infinite components to it, you know, and I'm not just going to stick with Christianity. I'm not going to just stick with
right.
Islam or Judaism. I want it all, you know, I want it all. I want African traditionalism. I want it all, you know, and through me seeking it all, I believe that I'll be able to connect with all, you know what I mean? So I'm just going to end it there. I think that a lot was said tonight. I think that we need to be activists on that grassroots level. I know that, you know, we have to be educators. We have to be activists. We have to be seeking to bring people together so that we can strategize and then organize and implement. And like I said, I'm down to travel to Queens, you know what I mean? And, you know, I'm going to be doing something. I'm planning, you know, my forum. I'm planning my forum up here in the Northeast Bronx, and we're going to be striving to attract new converts to this struggle, you know what I mean? And I'm going to be asking, you know, anybody who can, come out to the Northeast Bronx. We're going to welcome you with open arms. You know what I mean? So peace and love to the family. And, you know, everybody have a good night, you know, and let's keep on pushing.
Mike, where are you in the Northeast Bronx? Where are you exactly in the Northeast Bronx?
I grew up in Eden World Projects.
Okay, so you're my neighbor. I grew up in Co-op, so we fam.
Okay. 5 minutes
okay.
away. 5 minutes away. That's right.
There
That's
you
right.
go. Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm.
Peace
All
and
right.
blessings, Brother Mike. We're on Thursday,
Thank you, Mike.
My brother.
All
we're
right.
on Thursday.
All right.
You're co-hosting. I don't know what
okay.
we're bringing to the table, but I got some ideas. I'll be in touch. All right?
No
Just
doubt.
Stay strong, my brother.
No doubt. You too.
My
too.
Co-host.
To
my co-host, Sister Amunet.
Yes, sir.
You have the floor, your closing remarks.
All right. Well, I'm going to say this. I'm thankful for everybody that called in and participated this evening. I'm glad for all of the thoughts that went forth. Brother Mike X, fabulous. I thank my sister Toya for opening up and letting it loose like I knew she could. I'm thankful for Pastor Jeff, who came in and dropped what he needed to drop in there in the mix. And thankful for the other brother from New Orleans, definitely a blessing, and, you know, Brother Hess, of course, and yourself, Tony. But I'm going to just say this, and then the Sister Daphne as well and the other sister that called in, definitely thankful for all of those people and all of your participation this evening. You know, we're going to have to work with a variety of different thought groups, different people from all walks of life who have something to offer and bring to the table and come together, like Toya was saying, collectively for the betterment and for the advancement of our people. And we need to come together. It doesn't matter what creed you are, what your belief system is. My thought process may be a little bit different than yours, but we can come together collectively for a common cause. And in this case, I think the verdict in of itself has made us look at ourselves. It's made us take the onus. We have to take ownership for how we got here. We have to look at things all over again and say, you know what, we need to go back to the drawing board, because what has worked for us in the past 45 years to 50 years, and even since Dr. King and Malcolm left us, we now have to put some new methods in place, because obviously what was laid down, it worked for a while, and it was to get us to where we are now, but now it's time to lay down a new foundation. We have to be bricklayers. So now we got to rework the bricks, just like the people of Kemet did with the pyramids. The pyramids weren't built in a day, okay? They kept generation after generation. They kept rebuilding the pyramids, fixing them up, okay? They had the foundation, but they kept going back because the pyramids have to be rebuilt. They have to be reworked. They have to be redone. So we got to go back and look at what it is that we need to do. And for this generation, so it's effective, so they'll hear us, so they'll want to take action, we have to do a remix on the foundation that was laid for this generation.
Oh, yes. And I like that word, remix.
Okay. It's a remix.
We have to put it in effect. Sister, I want to thank you so much for helping me out tonight. Please come back and join us. You are truly needed. And,
thank you.
Peace and blessings to you, you know.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Likewise.
Again. Thank you. Thank you. You've been listening to EIESOC Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix. I'm the founder and president of Enough is Enough. Save Our Children here in Southeast Queens. You can find us on Facebook, or you can go directly to our website. That's Enough is Enough, saveourchildren.org. Or you can email us at eie.saveourchildren@gmail.com. You've been listening to After the Verdict. What do black people do now? What changes do black people need to make to empower themselves in America? Will this be the birth of accountability and unity in black America? Well, let me just say this real simply. And I think you heard it tonight because we talked about spirituality. It doesn't matter to me what God you have in your life. But if you trust that God and you allow his will to be done, not yours, that's a big advancement right there. Step number one. Step number two, we need to become more educated about ourselves. Step number three, it is time to start the healing process. We got a lot of resentment and, you know, hating going on for ourselves, for others who look like us. You know, someone said it tonight about the relationships between black men and black women. The collateral damage of that is our children, our communities, where we stand in society. It is time to take some real inventory and become accountable for our failures, forgive ourselves, and be willing to change. As the sister said, it's time for the remix. It is time to become economically empowered in this country. I'm not surprised by the verdict. One of the reasons I'm not surprised is because economically we are not empowered in this country. Which we are the biggest consumers in America, black folks. We buying hair and all kind of gadgets, but we don't have any black businesses in our community. We have the assets. We have the resources. It's time to share. Time to bring our communities back to life. Because we got a lot of weeds growing, like someone said. We can do this. Have we had enough yet? Do we all have to be trapped in a corner like rats to either eat each other or come out fighting for ourselves. Not to oppress others, but to bring us to the level we need to be in society. Because we are failing. We are failing ourselves. We are failing our children. And our children are dying as a result of it. Verdicts like Trayvon Martin will not change unless we change. And you know what they say? If nothing changes, nothing changes. Listen, gun violence, the plague in every inner city community. To me, it is the number one crisis in America. Kids killing kids. Where is the anger and outrage? It is time for it to be displayed. We display it for cases like Trayvon Martin and others. But like Sister Toya said, what about those that we don't hear about? And what about what is going on in our communities 24/7? Where is the anger and outrage? Where are the tears besides the parents of those who perished by the gun at funerals? Where is the outcry in our communities from our neighbors? Where is that? Do you think those who cleared George Zimmerman for murder, what do you think they're sitting back saying? How dare they get upset at the verdict when they got their own killing their own every day in their own community? Yeah, that's what they're saying, whether you want to hear it or not. That's what they're saying. I'm saying it, and I know they're saying it. But folks, just think about what I'm saying. Just think about it. It's time for self-love, self-respect, self-pride. We got to bring that back. Sister said it. We got to rebuild. We got to rebuild. Not going to happen overnight, I know that, but we got to start right where we stand, and we can make it happen. You want change? There is. We can bring change. It is not hopeless. That's a lie. Anybody that tells you that, that's because they're not willing to do nothing. But it's not hopeless. There's always hope. As long as there's a power greater than you and I, there is always hope. I'm a believer of that. Listen, I could go on here all night long. But I'm grateful for my guest tonight who called in. I'm grateful for those that came into the chat room. I'm grateful for my listeners. Listen, we can make it happen, and damn it, we are going to make it happen. There's no quitting me, but ask yourself, what about you? Listen, no one told you today, God loves you, and so do I, and I'll be back real soon. Y'all have a blessed night. Thank you.
can make it, don't care what the weather, don't care about the trouble, got my stuff together. I've been the kind of protection that's all around. I've come up for, babe. I've been for real, babe, with the trouble man. Check the trouble, just hey, move.